Roll the intro. What is up, everybody? Welcome back. It is a Thursday night. Thursday night means one thing. It's that time. New panel, new night. Doc Talk is back. Almost had just enough time to like get it all shared out through the intro. That's what I do during the intro. It's like I'm sitting back here trying to share the video to the different places. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to children's kids, whatever you want to be called. We're happy to have you. Thanks for being here. Again, we've got a new panel tonight. We're up north. We got the Canadians, the Great White North. Hey, yep.
Accurate,
very accurate right now. Actually, should see my trail cam photos.
And we got to start off like this, though. Welcome to the team, gentlemen. You're Doyle. Yeah. You've been here before. You've been with us for quite a while as an Orion team member and different things. But Tyler, you're brand new. So welcome to the Jackson Kayak Fishing team, man. Stoked to have you guys on board. Yeah, just couldn't ask for two better dudes. So to kind of give you guys at home a little background on these two, we're going to go around the room. We'll let Tyler start off since it's his first time. Tell everybody where you're from, and tell everybody what you're paddling out there this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Chad. Appreciate the intro, and super stoked to be here with you guys. I'm overwhelmed by how supportive and you know, kind everyone is on this team so far. It's fantastic. But I'm residing out of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada's capital. It's fantastic. We got about 10, 15 centimeters of snow on the ground right now. I was thinking about getting the old Jackson Bite out and taking it down the Toboggan Hill, but didn't quite work out. But I'm on a original Jackson Bite, first generation, call it the hot tamale. The classic yellow with the red. I'm sure you've seen it in a couple posts recently since I joined the group. But appreciate it.
But you're gonna announce the announcement.
Well, there's a new
Save that for later, maybe.
There's a new boat on the way. I'm really stoked about it. That's for sure. Be a nice little upgrade. Yeah.
There you go.
Guys, I like it. I've been here before once. Talked about some ice fishing with Michael, and my name's Doyle. I'm from Ottawa as well, the Great White North, probably about 30 minutes away from Tyler, so it's
close.
I fish with the U-Pick. I got a U-Pick last year. Love fishing out of it. We call it the barge. It just like carries all the gear, carries all the camera gear, all my fishing gear, and my camping gear. So it's just like the boat, pack it up with stuff and get out there.
It's a wicked platform.
It is. And you're rocking it well, though.
I love it. It's awesome. Like, it's so versatile. It's literally a barge. Like, there's no other word for it. I know that there's bigger kayaks and stuff, but the amount of the amount of open space on there is like just awesome.
Hell yeah. It is definitely the most open boat, with the exception of the Take Two, which is just an even bigger barge.
In the Take Two, well, when I was doing kind of getting into this episode kind of preemptively here, and when I was doing some content with Tyler, we were doing underwater photos, and I could crawl like way up to the front of my kayak and like lie down on my stomach, stick both my hands in the water, and like trying to get these under like bass release shots and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cool stuff.
It's, like, it's never going to flip or anything, you know, it's just.
Don't say that. That's how it ends.
No. That's how accidents happen.
How it ends.
I'll flip it on purpose for a video maybe, but
Oh, dude, you're like a, it's all that running keeps you like a gazelle. You're able to get up, get nimble, and get quick on it. So tonight's episode, we're going to hit it up a little bit different. These guys right here are two of our big and new creators that have joined our team at Jackson Kayak. What do? They can give you a lot of insight on creating those super videos, the super short reels, TikTok style videos. Great photographers. They do a lot of things well in that content space. So they're going to give you guys and offer you up some tips, tricks, and pointers to kind of help you along the way. I know that's something that a lot of people, we all three, get a lot of questions about it every single day. People always want to know how to do something better, do this, do that. And, you know, we're kind of going to field questions from the audience, obviously. So if you guys got any questions, hit us up with them.
And yeah, throw them in the chat.
We'll probably talk about some fishing. Probably talk about some fishing somewhere in this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd love to go fishing. I haven't caught a fish. I don't think I've caught a fish since February, the beginning of February.
And, you know, it's the Great White North for a reason. You guys got to get that seasonal thing, like, figured out. Because, you know, that's what I was talking to Will about last week. He's like, you know, openers like this and this date, it's like, it's open now, bro. Go. Yeah.
Come on, take a trip down.
Yeah, take a two-hour drive and it's open, I guess, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, talking about content and the different things, let's start off. I think a lot of people like to hear what you use to make content, to film content. So kind of talk about that, and whoever wants to go first can go, and we'll just kind of go around the room and talk about some of the things that we use.
All right, I'll jump in. Yeah, so my gear for content creation's really evolved over time. I started making videos back when I was in my teenage years. I'd film some stuff on a GoPro, and my buddies and I would go out fishing. I'd, you know, throw all the footage in the GoPro Quick app. It would either edit it for me, or I'd do a super basic edit and then, you know, get it out to the boys, get everyone amped up on the fishing trip, and just keep doing that. I didn't see the benefits of YouTube at the time, but as time evolved, you know, started a YouTube channel 4 years ago with the Big Fish Energy, as you can see beside my name there. It was like starting fresh. You know, I just wanted to share the passion for fishing. And, you know, again, started with one GoPro, and it quickly evolved over time. The cell phone, basically where I'm at right now, we have two GoPros, DJI Mini 3 Pro drone, Sony FX30 sort of cinema camera, a couple different lenses just to get some different perspectives, things like that, as well as some microphones and just all sorts of toys, you know, tripods and just all sorts of stuff. So it's kind of evolved over time. But, you know, the whole point of it is you don't need all that stuff to make content. We're going to get into that, though. So I'll throw it over to Doyle.
What is your like main thing? Like, what do you like to shoot with the most? If you could only pick like one piece of equipment or one set of equipment to make your gear to have with you all the time, what would it be?
Honestly, man, the Sony FX30 is just a cinematic beast of a camera. It's such a joy to use, and it just, every time I look at the footage from it, I'm just like, ah, man, it's too much. Like it just lights something up in me. But on the flip side, the drone, the perspectives you can get out of the drone, how creative you can get with it, it's a toss up. Two different things for sure, but those would be the two I love the most. I know it doesn't narrow it down, but still, it's hard to choose.
It does. You know, yeah. If you said GoPro, I would have been like, okay, you know,
I would have just logged out. Today.
Doyle was judging.
No, I mean, you use what you can, right?
Yeah.
I use the Canon R5 as much as possible. And I kind of bounced between the 70 to 200 2.8, depending on what I'm doing. Or I use a 15 to 35 2.8 if I'm getting really close up with stuff. So that's my combo. I mean, same as Tyler, I've got a couple of GoPros. I really prefer not to use them. It's kind of like the backup shot for me. I use them as little as possible. And I have a DJI Air 3 drone, one of the bigger ones to fly around. Although it is scary landing it on the water, though. Like, it's terrifying.
Absolutely.
The old snatch and grab with the Mavic 3s, it's tough, man.
It's tough. You get like so much money like hovering over. It's like hanging like a $1,500 bill just like in over the water, and you try
that could cut your fingers.
And you gotta turn it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, no landing pad out there. I don't have to start fishing with like a 4x8 sheet of plywood on the back of my rig or something.
And of course,
circle painted on it.
Yeah.
You're out in the middle of the lake. You got the breeze going, so your kayak's moving along. You're trying to steady the drone, get it in the right spot so you can grab it, flip it underneath. It's coming close to you. It's just mayhem sometimes. I love it.
You just gotta like,
oh yeah,
be super like fast with the stealth. Ninja reflexes. Yep. Just like get it and get it done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got all my fingers though, so we're good.
For now.
Yeah.
But no,
what about you, Chad?
For me, I'm a it's sitting here because I had to offload some photos, so I've got the Sony as well, not the FX series. I'm still running the A series. I actually got two Sonys. My primary lenses for those would be, I've got a Tamron 28-200 super zoom. Nice. That gives me a lot of fun range on the water, so I can be up close but still be far away with the 200. It's not as heavy, so it's easier to pack, cuts a little bit of weight in the boat. And then I've got my other primary lens that I pretty much just use when I'm on dry land is my Sony G Master 24-70. I use it a lot. That's probably my favorite on the ground lens. It's just got a good range, lets me get up close and different things when we're taking product photos and that. DJI drone, obviously. Then I got a DJI Pocket 2 that I've never used. It's sitting behind me.
Showpiece.
I've turned it on. It's pretty cool. And then I've got four of the DJI action cameras that I run. I don't use anything GoPro. It's all DJI or Sony based for me. Those are my two brands that I really like. The Pocket is, if anybody wants a DJI Pocket, you could probably just have it.
Kind of ship it.
That thing.
You ship find it easier working, like taking the GoPro out of the equation and just working with like the majority DJI stuff?
So
with the Osmo and drone and stuff, does it all work kind of similarly and works with all the same apps and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, when we've got our drones, obviously we all probably run the D-Cine, like, so, you know, we've all got our color profiles that we turn everything off. And, you know, when I'm using the DJI actions, it matches up with the drone. If I were to use the Pocket, it would all mesh and mash up nice. And obviously with the Sony, I think it mashes. It's a real easy. You got to do a little bit of work in the color grading, but you get there. Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, I for me, DJI, the biggest thing I think, and I think you guys would agree, on action cameras, they don't overheat, which is wonderful. So if you guys have overheating problems, it's probably time for an upgrade. I think the profile of a DJI action camera just fits better. With the Sony,
it's pretty natural.
It's got a lot, it meshes with the high resolution a lot better. It's just got that better color profile at the end of the day. That's nice. Kind of why I go that route. Things coming in, so let's keep going here.
Yeah, what's on the itinerary here? Where do you want to go?
Your mustache.
What? I shaved just for this.
It's clean.
Yeah, it's clean. I was hoping it looked good. I can't grow a beard, so I had to do something.
So favorite thing to use, obviously, we all prefer to have our camera body in our hand. I think you make the better stuff. It's hard to film yourself sometimes. Let's talk about filming yourself with a camera body over using some of the action cameras. Like, how do you guys go about setting up some of the different shots that you can get? What are some of the things that you can do to make your short film better using a camera body and tripod? And yeah, just kind of go through that
process. Well, you know, you have the tripod set up, whatever. Something that I do that I know a lot of people don't do is I use the app that connects to your phone, like, really heavily. Like, I use it so much for videos just to, like, press record or photos or whatever, you know? So I don't have as much of that. If you, when you guys have done it, I know Tyler's done it, seen it, or even people leave it in their outtakes of where, you know, they set up the camera, they walk out to where they want to do whatever, and then they walk back to whatever, or they're doing a walking shot. Like, half your footage is just of you walking back and forth. So the thing that I use, even just to frame up shots or whatever, so you know kind of what you're looking at or what your shot's going to look like or whatever, or even just the exposure, stuff like that, I use it's the Canon Connect app. I use it really heavily. So that would be my one tip, is like, connect your app to your camera. It's going to make life quite a bit easier for you.
Yeah, no, that's solid, Doyle. That's a really good tip for sure. File sizes are so big now to begin with. If you can shave off that couple seconds in the beginning, couple seconds in the end, it's going to save you a ton just uploading your footage to computer or phone or whatever you're doing. So for me, it's just getting creative with the shots. Like, I really like to have my grids turned on my screen. So a rule of thirds grid, typically, you know, you'll have your center point in there as well. And just taking in your surroundings and seeing, like, where could I put my tripod that would make a really cool angle? Like, instead of just the standard, you know, right in front of you or beside you, like, maybe you have a tree tucked in on the side, so you get that bit of perspective, and then you're walking by, or, you know, you put your gorilla pod up in a tree, sort of hanging down, looking down, and perspectives like that, I find really invigorate little video clips or videos or whatever you're making. So just getting creative with the shots.
Yeah, I think that would be, that's perfect, actually. I mean, the app is such a huge thing. I use the Sony app. There's other apps out there, but I don't know. I've just landed on that and I keep using it. But the rule of thirds, having those bars up, I think, goes such a long way. And being able to select, I think for some of the older Sony's, like I've got the A7 III, one of the things that's hard about that is you cannot select your focus on the screen. So you've got to make sure that you lock eyes with that lens at some point to make sure that it connects and hits you. And that's then tough. You got to go. Oh,
that's a tough one.
That is. Yeah.
Is there not a firmware upgrade for that?
Not for that particular camera, no. Damn. Yep. You can touch the screen and lock a focus in a place.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or go manual.
You've got to lock eyes with it.
Wow. I did not know that.
And that's the thing. I mean, the touch focus now is just so good, but that's something that's somewhat newer in the technology. Like the camera you're using, Chad, it's not even that old. It's just the technology progresses so quickly that, you know, you can be left in the cold pretty quick.
This is where the difference in brands, I guess, kind of makes a little difference, because I can't even remember when I had a camera that didn't have that.
Well, see, it was weird because the Sony A7 II actually had it where you could tap focus on the screen. But when the A7 III came along, that feature was lost.
Really?
It's wild.
I wonder why they did that.
It's crazy. Backtracking.
It's like so bizarre.
And, you know, talking about that, to get that focus, sometimes it is hard. Like, we filmed a thing for Wild River Beef Jerky last summer. Nice. Shot the whole thing, looked at the lens, and it was like, looked through the viewfinder and was like, okay, looks good. Did I zoom in? No. Did I check it like I should have? No. I got all the way home from a 45-minute drive, and half of it was fuzzy. So I had to go through and reshoot on a separate day the whole other part all over again, just because Well, you know, the truth of the matter is I didn't have the face detection on. So that was my own personal fault that I missed the entire focus. But yeah, so that's a big thing. I mean, you end up shooting a lot of stuff and checking your footage is huge. I think when you're self filming stuff like that, because like Tyler said, you could put that tree up here and your camera could accidentally lock on that tree.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, sometimes that makes a cool shot.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not quite the result you wanted. And then, I mean, let's say you're out on the boat, you're running all your cameras, you know, there's a lot of action going on with the fishing, things are getting hairy, you're locked into that. There's a lot of times when, especially for me, like I've thought I've been filming, I thought the cameras were rolling, and no, I didn't catch any of that. You know, it's just the more you add to the pile, the harder it gets to keep track of. You get in the groove with it after a while, you know, you set up the same way every time, you have your routines, everything like that. But man, even for us who do it all the time, like things go wrong. You get home, half your footage you thought was there isn't there. And it's just, man, brutal.
Now, planning these things is always a big part of the process. And we're kind of, you know, we're talking about a little bit about setup, talking about what we've got. Now let's get into the planning process, because sometimes you've got to plan out a shoot, whether it's a boat walkthrough or you just have an idea that's in your head that you just have to get out. So you write it all down and all that. So let's talk about prepping, and I will go to Tyler first because I know Doyle's answer is very similar to mine. So we'll let Tyler talk about this part first.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's evolved very much since, and when I talk about creation, I mean, obviously making stuff, posting on Facebook, making stuff for Jax and everything like that. But my main focus is the YouTube channel. So when I first started, man, it was just going out and filming fishing. There was no thought put into it. There was really no planning whatsoever. And over time, as I learned more and evolved and everything like that, we're basically at the point right now where I'll try to come up with a video idea before I even go out and hit the field, hit the water, whatever it is. And with that, I'll try to come up with a bunch of different video titles that's going to go with that particular video. And I'll actually make a bunch of notes on my phone about, you know, certain shots I want to get, certain things I want to talk about. I mean, when you're out there and things start happening, you forget. And, you know, you want to make sure you hit those particular points for what you're trying to create in terms of a video. I'll even go to the point where I pull up Google Maps on satellite view and like survey the area, figure out, you know, where I want to put my drone to get certain shots, areas I want to cover, any unique structure in the area I want to get footage of that I wouldn't typically know would be there unless I looked on Google Maps. So I try to, you know, dive in like that as much as possible just to sort of alleviate me scrambling when I'm out in the field. You know, I have a plan. I'll refer to my phone every now and then, check the shots. Okay, I got that shot, still need to get this one. You know, and it's tough because it's fishing, right? You could plan all this out. You could have the best possible plan. You get out there and either nothing happens, you don't catch the fish you're looking for, it just doesn't work out. It just, so many things can happen. So it's tough. It's tough for sure. But having a plan, I find is a massive help.
I don't have a plan to the point where I write it down. But everything has to start with an idea, and then whatever I'm going to end up doing with that, like 9 times out of 10, all of the shorts or reels that I've done have just come from me driving in the car and listening to music. And then it's like, okay, here's one thing that I want to do. And I have like a whiteboard over here with just ideas that are written down on it that I'm hopefully going to be just crossing them off in the summer. But I don't write things down kind of for the reason that Tyler said, where, you know, it's fishing. Like, I feel like nothing has ever gone to plan when I actually plan something and go out and film it. You know, I've done lots of stuff with Will and James and Scotty and stuff like that. So I end up changing everything on the fly. It's not like changing one or two things. It's changing almost everything from that whole day and changing your perspective on what the end product is going to look like. So in the film style that I do, I call it documentary style filming, where if I plan for something to happen and it doesn't happen, then it's almost like a failure in this sort of way. Not a failure as in, you know, you can't make something, but you can become obsessed with the idea of what you're trying to make. And once that is gone, I have a really hard time grasping an idea back after that. So I've actually had more success with recent trips and filming and making something without having a concrete plan, other than to just film as much as I can from all angles as I can. It helps because I have a lot more experience than both you guys probably. So I have a lot more, I know, like in my head, I know like certain things that I'm looking for that I will have to have, like a certain shot type or whatever. But in term, like I should probably make shot lists and stuff. I had say to Tyler a lot that I should probably start doing that again, but
in theory,
yeah, I mean, the list is there, but you know, it's like, but yeah, I don't like plan very much. It's all an idea. And then the idea starts A and Z, and I don't plan from B to Y at all. It's like, just kind of go with the flow, and the story a lot of the times will write itself.
Well, what I tend to do is, and I've got it, if you're watching live, you'll be able to see this. So I start off with a list. I've got a list of different shots, like your opening shot that's a wide shot, and just kind of what I want to do. And then somewhere between that list and the action of doing it, my brain starts going into like overdrive, and I forget about the list, and I'm just like, I'm doing things and thinking about things faster than I realize what's actually going on. And then I get home and it's like, well, I forgot to do that. I forgot to do that. I forgot to do that. I didn't do that. Should have got that. So I do a lot of that. And there's days that I'll go back a second time and try to get, you know, something that I missed. But, you know, I think like Doyle said, I mean, sometimes when you're talking about what we do with a natural creature, like a fish, I mean, definitely some days don't go as planned.
Yeah.
It can get disappointing real quick, whether you're fishing, hunting, whatever. Nothing about what we're trying to film is actually guaranteed at all, other than our, you know, B-roll, our lead up and our outro. Those are pretty much given, but it's what happens in the middle that I think is the unknown, which makes, you know, trying to document it very, makes it real, number one, and then, you know, makes it hard, number two, because like Doyle said, you can kind of lose that interest. I mean, there's been several days where if I'm running the action cameras in my boat, I'll just have a tough day going, and it's like the battery dies, and I'm just like, oh, I'll get that later when I start figuring out what's actually going on. Then I figure out what's actually going on, and I never turn them back on. That's happened several times.
I mean, if I could jump in one more time before we switch topics, one theme that really stood out to me between all three of what we said was things don't go as planned. Things happen. This is fishing, right? And what I've sort of adapted to that in a way that, you know, I'll look at the footage I have when I get back. Let's say, you know, go out, the trip didn't go as planned, it's just a wash, whatever it is. I'll go through the footage I do have and see, like, what could I use in the future? Maybe I'll hold on to this and use it and then edit down the road, you know? Maybe in my next video, I'll talk about this trip and what went wrong, and I'll use some of this footage in that video. Like, don't look at it as a total loss at the end of the day. You know, save some footage, get a hard drive off Amazon. You know, save the footage on the hard drive and just remember you have it. Get it organized on your computer and use it in the future. You know, it just enhances the videos even more.
And if I could compliment you, Tyler, that's probably one of my favorite things about your videos is that it's not just like, hey guys, what's going up? We're doing a fishing trip. It's like, man, it's been tough. I've gone out five times. I haven't caught anything. And you show, you're like, bam, bam, bam. Are very
flashes.
Like you show all the failures, and I think like it makes you a lot more relatable as like a creator.
Yeah.
That like you're real life. Going out and catching fish, going out and catching your PB every time you go outside your house.
Cause that doesn't happen every day. We all know that, you know? So yeah, no, it's tough.
I'm going to echo Tyler, though. If filming is something that you're very serious about doing, or content creation, or starting a YouTube channel, whatever it might be, the first thing that you should probably buy besides a good computer is a good external hard drive, because this stuff, 4K and all the new technology, takes up so much room. You definitely need to have some sort of a place to put all that footage, because if you put it on your brand new shiny computer, you're going to bury that thing so fast. It's not even
quick.
So,
yeah. And then nothing will work on it.
Yeah.
Just gets bogged down. So definitely pick yourself up a, external, buy like big amounts of storage on Google Drive.
These guys are classic. The Lissies. Really good price, huge storage capacities. Just look for the rubber on Amazon.
The rugged.
Yeah.
So that's important. Definitely do that. Buy the biggest one you can afford at the time.
Yeah.
So let's see. Shot list. We've talked about shot list. Let's talk about movement. Like, maybe we should talk about the editing process first. Let's go into that. So we did have a question, what kind of editing software are we using? And I believe that came from Mr. Rudy Yarworth. I had it starred, but then I've lost it.
It's Chris.
Chris. Yeah, there it is.
There he is.
So I'll chime in. I use DaVinci. It's free. It's free to start out with, but you can also get the paid version and get some other things that go along with it. But DaVinci Resolve as of last year is what I've started using. Then I've got a couple different ones on my phone, because it's nice just to have something on your phone that you can like manually go through that's similar. And I use PowerDirector on Android is what I use for my phone.
Man, PowerDirector. I started my YouTube channel. My first 25 videos were on PowerDirector. That's a throwback right there. I love that. Yeah. But no, to answer your question right off the bat, Chris, I personally use Adobe Premiere Pro. Absolutely love it. Great. DaVinci is fantastic as well. What you get for free is just mind-blowing, to be honest with you. But for Chris, highly recommend checking out an app or a desktop called CapCut. It's somewhat new on the scene, but I'm telling you, I've been playing around with it just to see what it's all about. I don't intend on really using it, but the features and just how easy they make it just to put basic videos together. You can edit audio levels. You can use AI functionality in there to like change backgrounds. There's just so many things you can do, but if you're looking for something to start with, definitely recommend checking out CapCut. There's a bunch of videos on YouTube on how to get started. And I mean, same goes for every other editing platform, but definitely check that out.
Yeah, I use Premiere as well. And it's just kind of something I've been using for a long time, since, 10 years probably.
The wizard.
But I couldn't say anything bad about DaVinci. Like, it's such a good program. I know a lot of people who use it and really like it. A lot of people have switched from Premiere and like it even more.
Yeah.
I'm just not at that level yet, maybe.
Yeah.
I know it's an intimidating program once you first get into it, but it is really, really, really good. On my
phone, they're all intimidating.
Yeah, they are. But DaVinci is something else, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All these different buttons. And, yeah.
The buttons that do things.
I know people who use, iMovie or whatever, and you can definitely get away with that.
Good to start.
On my phone, I used to use Splice until they made you pay for it. And then I actually started using CapCut to do all of the, TikToks or whatever that I used to do. I haven't done a TikTok for a while, but.
Doyle's practicing his TikTok dances.
Yeah, I'm doing TikTok dances on the kayak this year.
Yeah.
Watch for him.
New segment.
Yeah. CapCut, man. That CapCut is awesome.
It's really good. Usually,
I didn't know they had a desktop.
They do. Yeah.
Recently. Yeah. But if it's any good, as good as the phone version, it's going to be like really good. I don't know if you have
to
pay for it or anything, but
I know there's a lot of guys still using the GoPro's version of the editing software. I can always tell because of like the transitions. Yeah, quick. You can always tell because of the way the titles look and the transitions look. And if you used it before, you probably recognize it. But if you guys are using that right now, I highly recommend checking out CapCut. Adobe. Yeah, Adobe's an investment. Like, it is not cheap. I love it. I'm finally at the point now where I'm pretty comfortable and quick with it. It takes a while to get there. It takes hours. It took hours of learning on YouTube. And, you know, it's definitely a time investment. But check out CapCut. Solid, solid to start. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. Now we're going to go to Mama Jean. Mama Jean's got a question from the audience. What is the shortest, simplest reel that you have made that had the most impact using interaction? Send it, boys.
I know Tyler's got an
answer. Yeah, I got an answer for that. So I mean, you start out the YouTube channel. Don't expect anyone to watch your videos. Just do it for the fun of it. Don't give up. Keep plugging away and things will happen eventually. Just over the winter here, I had a ice fishing basically short, which is equivalent to a reel on Instagram, viral. Yeah, it's just about to hit 7 million views. And it basically took me from 1,200 subscribers to, well, not single-handedly that video, but the thing is it brings in traffic, right? So people start watching your other videos. It starts building the community. In the past 4 months, I've jumped from the 1,200 subscribers, just hit 17,000 the other day. So it's just like, absolutely mind-blowing. You know, all the other reels and videos I have are just going up in views. People are getting into the comments, and like, it's just starting to evolve the community, which is what I wanted to begin with, just to share that passion of fishing. But just a basic one of my most basic ice fishing like reels I made. It was from footage from a couple of years ago. It was blown out. Like, it was just terrible. I couldn't believe that this footage like went this far. So it just shows you, like, it doesn't have to be a crazy edit or anything like that. You know, it's it's crazy.
Maybe we should have made you go last.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, all right, I got a
couple.
I think it hit 10K one time.
But that's still solid too, man.
My strategy used to be take whatever viral thing is going on and short term, like not TikTok dance necessarily, but you know, every app's got trending music or songs, and just try to make the fishing version of that. So that's the ones that have done that and been successful. You know, they get 8, 9, 10,000 views. The only one recently that did pretty well is the one that Chad reposted on the Jackson Instagram the other day on my personal account. It's just like 6 or 7 close-ups of my UPIC rig with all of the stuff kitted out on it with some trending music to it. And that got just about 6,000 views on it. And I mean, that's all it takes. I don't know what I don't get a ton of comments or anything. That's kind of, you need to interact with the audience, I think, to kind of get that engagement up. But that is like, that's as good as it's getting got for me, I think.
It's only going to go up, man. Summer's coming, baby. You can start
tagging me in your stuff, in your 7 million view videos, maybe.
Well, I think, you know, one thing to look at on that topic is try not to look at the views, really. 100%. Just keep making. Because you can get, it's a very, gosh, man, it's very high
school. The roller coaster, man.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. And we get, if you dive in and you really start looking at the view count and you start looking at the likes, which the view count and likes can be very similar to hurting what you think of the video. If you're happy with it and you put it out there, just keep making stuff because somebody out there liked it. Number 100%. One, and just keep running with it. Eventually, just like these guys said, something takes off. It just takes time. You just have to, number one, you have to work at it. You have to be consistent. And you know, just play the right cards. Just keep, like Doyle said, just find that music. Just keep hitting it. Mm-hmm. It's all there.
And I mean, if you guys are, sorry, I got a lot. I had a coffee before this, man. I'm ready to go. But no, I was gonna say, like,
to read comments too. So
okay. But yeah, I'll keep talking. Specifically for YouTube guys, if you're out there trying to make YouTube videos right now, you're just getting started. You're a couple videos in, no matter what it is. Things like get 100 videos on your channel. Work on 100, you know, get 100 videos up there. But the thing you want to do is every video, you just want to try to improve something from last time, whether it's, you know, I want to try this camera angle, I want to talk to the camera a bit more, whatever it is, just work at it little by little by little. And, you know, start looking at your analytics in YouTube. Once you get 100 videos on there, so YouTube has a sample size of your videos that it's given out to people. You'll have a better idea of, you know, what people are liking, what people don't resonate with as much. And honestly, like Chad said, like, do not focus on the numbers, because that's why 95% of people who create YouTube channels quit within the first couple months. It's you're not going to see success immediately. Mr. Beast was on YouTube for 5 or 6 years before his channel even started taking off. Like, it's do it for the love of it, do it to learn, do it for the passion, and things will progress for sure.
And one of those things, like what Tyler's saying, if you're looking at those Instagram reels and you're wanting to see those grow followers and the different things like that, one of the big things that kind of trends around, and it does work, I've seen it work multiple times, I don't do it because I'm too busy, but 30 for 30. So you're posting 30 reels in 30 days, one reel every single day for 30 days. And you will see a magnificent change in your page. It will start to light up and take off, but it takes that consistency of being there daily. And just like Tyler said, engagement. If somebody leaves a comment, hit them back. I can prove to you 100 times over, it works. Very, very important. Let's see. Moving on to the next question, unless somebody's got something else they want to ask. Rudy, what microphone do y'all use? I know this is gonna get deep, so we'll just I use a Hollyland microphone.
I think you guys use the same microphones.
We do. Hollyland gang, baby.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. The Lark.
These are slick, super slick, all in a chargeable case. Right here. This part right here sets on your camera, and then you get two external mics that are just USB size big. And for the money, $150, Tyler.
Easy. Yeah. $150. Honestly. Yeah. No, it's an investment, man. It may seem like a lot right off the bat. And I know Doyle's going to touch on this too, but the one thing, if someone goes and watches your video, the one thing right off the bat that's going to make them turn your video off or go to a different video is bad audio. It's imperative. And I mean, in addition to the Larks, I use this guy, a little shotgun mic. I think this one's from Neewer, Amazon special. You know, they work great. You just throw it, if you have a SLR or a mirrorless camera, you just throw it right on top. You could even put this on a tripod and plug it into your cell phone. Like, for all you guys using cell phones, guys and girls, like, you can get mics, like, they all have attachments. Even the one Chad was showing just now has a cable that will go into the phone. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's Doyle. Tons of wireless mics with phone attachments now.
Yeah,
key for wired mics. I have a similar mic to Tyler's, where it's a Rode VideoMic Go. So it's probably it's like the on brand version of that microphone. Yeah,
exactly.
It looks exactly the same.
On brand. Listen to you. Listen.
Yeah, I know this guy.
He's a Canon guy.
For the wireless stuff, I used to use Hollylands, and I was having problems with them, probably because I used them in the winter too much. They got frozen and unfrozen, frozen and unfrozen too many times. Yeah. So they stopped working, and then I ended up getting the DJI mics. I don't know what they're called. I just call them the DJI mic, the wireless mic. And it's good for me because I film a lot of other people, And the only thing that I know that's different between mine and yours, other than maybe the range and possibly the battery life, but I kind of doubt that, they're probably the same. But I can plug in, I can plug a wired microphone into my my mics, which I know you guys can't, don't have that feature. I don't know if that feature is worth the extra $200, but
Hollyland has a version above ours
that
has that capability. So if you want to go bougie, you can for sure.
The nice really thing is good that for they interviews, all come in like these small cases that charge them. So, and it doesn't take that long to charge them either. It's just like a one quick go. And then they've all got the little fuzzy thing you can put on there. And like, those are key to have on. And I think,
Dead cat.
The hidden microphone thing is like recently, as of like this year, probably totally gone out the window. Yeah. Every YouTube short you see now, or every Instagram reel, like they're
they're all like this. You got it
on a pen or something.
Clip it on the side of their hat, or like right in the middle of their hat. And I'm like, I mean, I don't like it personally, but that's just if everyone else is okay with it, then.
Problem is some mics are directional, omnidirectional. If it's in certain places, you're not picking up the audio as good as if you got your, you know, right here on your chest. That's
like,
the ultimate.
You have it on your hat. It's pointed like directly out.
It's like let's pick up the loon on the lake.
It sounds like you're like talking through a tube, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
it's opinions.
It's, you know, it's whatever the current trend is on, just kind of roll with it. And
you but can nothing, dislike nothing's it better or whatever, than good audio. Yeah.
Audio is more important to me than the video. Or at least it's at 50-50. And even when I go into my editing software, one of the first things I do is make like 10 audio tracks because I know that I'm going to be putting in. If I showed you my timeline, you'd be like, what the F is going, what are you doing, dude? But like, I throw in so much extra background noise that only I'm going to notice, probably. Where like, if you didn't notice it, or if it wasn't there, you wouldn't really notice it. But because it's there, it makes the overall experience a little bit better. And stuff like that is really important to me. And it's kind of one of those things that it's like putting together like the perfect cooking recipe, where like if everything is in your dish, or if you know, if everything is in the pie that you're baking, and it tastes great, no one's going to say anything. But if you like put too much salt in there, people are going to be like, oh man, salty, pie salty. You know, that's kind of the way that I like try to look at it anyways.
I know. I was gonna say,
super important to me.
I do, for audio, like for music and sound effects and stuff, there's a ton of different services online. There's even a free on YouTube. And if you have a YouTube channel, there's a section in there where you can go and download all the copyright music from YouTube if you want to. But you know, like Doyle said, you know, just like, let's say you have a drone shot, you know, there's some water running in a lake, or there's a truck driving with a kayak on top of it. Like, throw in some sounds of that truck driving on a gravel road, throw in some bird sounds in the background, throw in some light breeze, stuff like that. Just basic, just transforms video clips immensely. Yeah, like it just pulls you in.
So like if you were there physically with your eyes closed, what would all those things sound like together? You know,
you want to immerse yourself,
especially because that drone video doesn't have sound. You got to add it. And you know, you can put that underlying music. It's something I'm trying to get away from, but put that music underneath. But still, even if you got that music in there, I would still throw in all those extra sounds, even if like you'd barely hear it. If it's there, you know, it's hard to explain, but once you start thinking of
pay attention to it
that way, you really do start noticing it. And, you know, for me, it's kind of ruined TV, but for
that's a tip that not a lot of people, that's just to give you guys at home, like background, that's a lot deeper tip than what you realize, because a lot of these guys that get on YouTube and talk about filming and talk about the different things, they will never tell you that part at all. So
secrets.
That's,
I think a lot of people just don't bother with
it. It's that extra mile. It can be so tedious, but man, like
it depends on so many things too. And you know, like the reason that you're making it, like everything that you do or make, in my opinion, should have a reason. If a shot doesn't have a reason for being in your video, even if it looks cool or whatever, I would just like take it out of it. I'm working on a video that I've been working on for months. Tyler knows of that. I'll edit it and then I'll come leave for, you know, a couple days, then come back to it. And I re-edit it, but I'll have 1 minute and then all of a sudden I got the same clips and it's 30 seconds or 45 seconds because I'll watch it over and, you know, every time you step back from something, you look at it with fresh eyes. Maybe I should just sit down and do it, but
drop
get to it, man.
Get it done.
Set a premiere.
But before we on the audio piece, you're probably like, well, where do I get all this stuff? I was saying you can go on YouTube and get it. I personally use Epidemic Sound. There's a ton of them out there though, and a lot of them now you can get footage on the side and like stock footage and stuff like that, but just do a search. A lot of them offer like a 1 or 2 month free trial. Give it a shot and you'll really see that it evolves, even your your short clips, videos, whatever. Just give it a shot.
I'm using Artlist, I think is what it's called, and they have music, sound effects, video templates now. And you can search it in like so many different ways. You can search it by sound or duration or tempo of music or video style,
emotion,
or anything like that.
All sorts. So, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever put anybody coughing in the background at a wedding video?
What?
Film a wedding and you got some guy. Do you ever put like a miscellaneous cough in the background?
No. Key moments of the speeches.
Maybe a fart cough. Never.
So let's go. We got another question. Mama Jean's got another question for us here. Do you share the same video on IG that you share to YouTube, etc.? Advantages, disadvantages.
There's really
another question.
TikTok and Instagram, I do, yes.
With your fresh uploads to each station.
And they're usually way shorter than anything I put on YouTube. For YouTube shorts, I'll make it as close to the 60 seconds as I can. For the Instagram and TikTok, I think people are just like swiping through until they hit that trendy song and then they see me dancing on a kayak and they're like, what is this? You know?
Yeah. Like for me, I don't really see any disadvantages. I mean, I don't use TikTok. I do Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And I don't re-upload things over and over again. That's kind of obvious, but you're spreading your content around. I find a lot of people will follow each other on the same platform. So sometimes you'll get into a situation where you see the same thing on different platforms. It's kind of unavoidable. It is what it is, but I don't really see any disadvantages to it at all.
I just think that the age, there's an age demographic between the platforms.
The platforms there is for sure.
Kind of notice, I guess.
Yeah. And I was going to add as well, like, don't just like have a purpose to what you're doing, you know, like if make a tip video or tell a story or like just put some thought into it and focus on quality. That's one thing I've tried to do myself and it's definitely led to some success and, you know, just, yeah.
I think quality. It gets people interested in you as a creator versus the stuff that you're actually like creating.
There's so much out there, right? There's just so much that looks the same when you put that extra mile in with the sounds, the different, you know, the camera angles, like putting everything together that we've talked about, that's what separates you from everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And even if you've got a stagnant shot that's on a tripod, you can get it in a lot of these editing softwares and add 100%. Some movement. So that is one kind of a neat thing. And I just kind of did it a little bit while I was still filming. You can add some pan, some zoom in, zoom out. You can blow up, you know, like if you've got one shot that, you know, is you on the water, blow it in, pull out, do some different things. Like as you chop that footage up, change the camera angle with your different, crops that you can do with your editor. I don't know how that relates to YouTube, but
well, it does. I mean, I'll be honest with you, Chad. Like,
the question, I'm way off on the question.
Well, I mean, part of my editing flow is literally going through the video and adding my pan and zooms. Like, you can literally turn one shot into five different shots with that sort of functionality. And one good thing to note about that too, when, you know, the main formats right now, we have 4K and then 1080p. 1080 is like the old guy. 4K is newer, you know, and the main difference between the two is if you're trying to figure out which one to use is if you feel like you're going to be cropping in on shots like a lot, you want to retain that detail, go with 4K. The file sizes are bigger, but the detail that's retained when you punch into those shots or zoom in a little bit or whatever it is so much.
It's a big difference.
It's drastic in terms of quality compared to 1080. But if you're just filming a regular video, you're not going to be doing too much to it. 1080 definitely works fine. You know, it's just something to keep in mind.
I'm an old guy, so I shoot in 1080.
I'm older than you, man.
I know. I have no reason to shoot.
Get with the times.
No reason. Personally.
No, I agree with you guys though. On back to the actual question. The demographic thing is definitely a thing. Whatever platform you're looking at, I think. You know, when I go to YouTube personally, I don't go to YouTube to watch shorts. If I'm gonna watch shorts, I'm watching those on Instagram Reels or whatever. When I typically go to YouTube, I'm looking for something that's long form. Yeah. So I think you do get some of those. Just depends. Different people view the platforms different ways. But if you want to get heavy into YouTube and you want to start a channel, a great way to kick your channel off is to start uploading a bunch of shorts and then get that channel growing and then come back and start adding in your long form as people get to know you a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what YouTube really likes is when someone watches one of your videos and they go to watch another video, they go to watch another one. How long can you keep someone on YouTube? That's when your videos really start getting pushed out. And that's why it's key to have that, you know, bank of videos already on there. You know, like I mentioned, the 100 videos, you know, now someone's watched one of your videos, they're interested, now they're going on to the next one. And that's what triggers the algorithm to really start pushing your videos out. And subscribers don't even really matter anymore. It's more comments, engagement, and likes. You know, it gives an indication. Even thumbs down, it's engagement. Like, I don't care if someone thumbs down one of my videos. Like, it's just, to me, it's like you're engaging with me, whether you like it or not. And that's what YouTube loves. So
it makes me feel good. I thumbs down all of your videos. So.
Perfect. I knew I get one on every video. You're the guy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The hater over here.
And honestly, like stuff like this, like if you can go live on YouTube and do things like this little podcast deal here. Mm-hmm. You can just get those Q&As going where you really drum up a lot of engagement, which is YouTube likes that. So, yep. You know, these little lives can go a long way on a space like YouTube.
Yeah. Whatever you can do to add value to whoever's watching your video. That's, I feel like is gotta be one of the main things in the forefront of your mind.
For sure.
Yeah. So, we got to talk about the hook. We should have talked about the hook first. How do you guys throw a hook on your video?
What do you mean a hook?
To hook the viewer. How do you hook the viewer, Duel?
Yeah, I don't have a set hook. It sort of evolved just like everything else. Like as you learn and, you know, I look at my analytics frequently now. I'll look at them for videos that have been out for a couple months. And I've actually like noticed trends. I'm sort of going off topic, but yeah, in terms of a hook, right now, because people's attention spans are so short, I find that front loading some action packed footage in the beginning can really make a difference. you know, some adding the music in with just the scene and setting the scene right away. Just being yourself, that's a really big thing. People know when you're being fake in any sort of video and you're not being yourself. Oh, yeah. And, you know, people are there to, they enjoy your content. They enjoy the way you come across them. And it's like hanging out with someone, you know, like that's what it's like. And, you know, just be yourself and you don't have to be like, hey, what's going on, guys? YouTube, back at it again. You know, just this is what we're doing today. And yeah. If they like it, they'll keep watching. You almost don't even need a hook.
I don't even have an answer to that question. I haven't made a video for my own channel in over a year, sadly. So
just
I don't know, like get that, man. Like one or two first establishing shots maybe, and getting a catchy title in there, and I don't know, do people still do thumbnails?
Title and thumbnail are two of the most important things you can, like, if you're going to put any time into anything, put it into your title and put it into your thumbnail.
Actually, I know that there's some research and it's something that I've noticed recently amongst some of the favorite YouTubers that I watch is that they'll, for like the first 2 days, they'll change their thumbnail every 3 or 4 hours.
Man, recent video I just put out, Perch Fish, and I've changed the title 4 times in the past 2 weeks, and I've changed the thumbnail as well. And you'll see the difference in the analytics. Yeah, it's interesting.
You get like a spike every time you do that.
Yeah, well, or not, or yeah, the opposite. Things right. Keeping it real goes wrong.
Thumbs down.
Well, that's why you see a lot of these how-to videos on YouTube right there, because, you know, it's all about punching in and hitting that algorithm for a lot of people. And that's why you see a lot of these dudes that are trying to be the fame. They really stick with a lot of the how-tos, whether it's Instagram, fishing, creating or whatever it might be. There's a lot of how-to tech tips, car parts, whatever it might be, and those are algorithm drivers. This is exactly what those are, because
search engine,
when we've got a question and we type it into the Googleverse, like how do I do this, pulls up that YouTube video that brings you right to how to change brakes on your car. And you know, that's all hitting the algorithm. So if like you want to learn about a boat, you type in how do I like the RFD, and it'll pull something up.
It's cool. I mean, it's seasonal too, right? Like how to catch perch in the spring video. You'll see in the spring, you'll see the views go up, and then for the rest of the year, she goes flat. And then the next year comes and the views go up again, and then it goes flat. You can literally see the trends. And it's interesting because you can start anticipating those things. Think of ideas in advance and capitalize on those times of years, you know?
Yeah or absolutely. Save a video, you know, if say for example, if I or Tyler had like an ice fishing video, you probably would not want to be posting it right now, but you can save it until December when the ice might be frozen or starting to freeze,
when people are starting to think about it,
people,
man.
Are like getting on there. It's same with like any content, hunting or whatever, you know. If I can get my deer video together, I'm not going to post it, you know, in July. I got to wait till September to put it out there.
Poacher.
Yeah, well.
Do you ever feel though, like when you do that, man, sometimes it's hard because it's like anything. I mean, you're really working on this child all the way through. You're raising it. You're developing it. It's growing. It's a process. It's a creative process. And as creative people, we want to share it. We want it to be seen. You ever find it hard to not upload it?
Oh, extremely. No. Man, extreme. For me, it's like it's like no one sees it, right? The amount of time, like you go out fishing all weekend, you spend a day or two culling all your footage, getting the footage you want, creating your proxies, you spent maybe 4 or 5 days editing it, and then you start it all over again the next weekend, unless you're going during the week and stuff. But like there's so much that goes into it in the background. It's so much work and effort, and it's like when you're trying to save something, it's so tough that you just want to put it out, because it's like you can't put that to rest until it's dropped. You put it out there. Okay, I can move on to the next project now. It's just sitting there burning away. So it's hard for sure, at least for me.
I won't post something if I think if I don't like it or if I think it's stupid.
Doyle's so critical,
which is really tough because I'm super critical of myself. Whereas
I would never post if I did it that way. I would never post because I'm very much the same way, Doyle. I will sit here and I will get something done. I will post it and I will go, that sucks. Mm. 10 seconds after I post it, I will come back, watch it and go, that's terrible. You should not have done that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why Doyle hasn't posted in a year.
I'll figure it out eventually. Keeps deleting them.
Oh, wait till this salmon trout video he's working on drops. I've seen little snippets of it. She's sexy.
It's coming. It'll be out before the salmon season starts.
Before next winter.
Well, no guarantees, I'm getting through it like a minute at a time every day. And then I lose a minute, but that's because I cut it down. But
cutting it down is easy because everybody's so hyper-engaged. You feel like you have to really do things at a lot faster pace than what you used to, I think, when you're editing out different items.
It depends on so many things, like the story.
That's a talk about that for hours.
Just to use this because it's at the top of my mind, the salmon video, it's like it's like a roller coaster. It starts here and then it goes down and then it goes up and then it goes down and then it goes, you know. Right now we're doing this. So
I find it too, I'll watch a lot of videos where it's just like, again, you want to keep in mind, you're trying to tell a story. You're trying to bring someone from point A to point B to point C at the end. And it's tough because it's your footage. You could be, you could absolutely love this piece of footage you got, but does it add to the story? Does it add to what you're trying to get across or what you're trying to tell? If it doesn't, don't include it or cut it out. There's so many situations where videos will just drag on. I'm like, I'm 4 minutes into the video and they're still talking about an intro and talking about thanks for being here and, all this stuff. And like, let's just keep moving, and that's one of the hardest things I think for myself is, I'll get some really cool video clips and I'm at the point now where I look at it and go, this isn't going to add anything to this. I'll look at my analytics and previous videos, see if people dropped when I've tried that before. You can literally see where people have dropped off your videos and everything like that, just putting it all together and, going from there. So
I think that to talk about myself, because I'm a narcissist, the hardest thing for me, it is not maybe just like make sure that I like it or think it's perfect. I do a lot of stuff, a lot of work for other people. So I can tell the difference between what I'm making for them and the things that I do for me, especially when I'm doing something that I feel like I'm putting 100% of my effort towards. And for some reason, I'm not doing that when I'm doing it for myself. And I haven't figured out the reason why and everything. It's something that I'll work on though, but I think that has a lot to do with it. Is I'm not putting 100% of my effort into the stuff I'm doing for my own YouTube and stuff. So I feel like if I'm not putting 100% into it, that it's not worth putting out there, I guess.
The thing though, too, Doyle, is what you have going for is you literally do this for work full time, like. You do this for work and then you do this for yourself. Whereas for me, I have a day job and then I do this on the side. So it's not like I'm saturated in it all the time. It's good to take breaks every now and then. Burnout's a real thing. I'm not saying you're burnt out. I'm just saying like it can happen without you realizing it. And taking a step away is not a bad thing. And just reinvigorating yourself and getting that passion going again, for sure.
Well, I do, like, I still film everything. Or as much as I can anyways. I've gone fishing with you a ton and we filmed tons of stuff. And I am able to make reels here and there, but the overall like bigger picture, the bigger idea, it doesn't necessarily something that I quit, but I just like push it to the side and focus on something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing.
I just got a lot of stuff on the side right now. Yeah.
We all do, man.
Yeah, everybody's got to have a hustle, man.
That's it.
No, I think, dude, that's completely fair, because I think when I, if I was to take portraits of family photos or whatever, they'll be completely edited different than something that I would edit myself. You know, I won't push something and do it like I would for myself with funky different colors that, you know, I want it to look professional, like they want it, that they ain't gonna want me pushing their photo or whatever. So, you know, I'll definitely edit stuff for other people different than I will myself, and I gotta stop that.
Yeah, we haven't understandable talked a ton about like photos or anything. I think that is something that I definitely do
talk about that
when I'm out on the water. Is like I'm going nuts with my camera in terms of photos, and I'm still getting that creative filling, I guess, by taking photos. I think I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, having a creative mind or whatever, and just being able to look at things way differently than you guys would for anyone would, for example. You know, it's photography to me is not just kind of taking snapshots of everything. It's looking at the world through a different glass, as cliche as you want to get with that, but
lens. Yeah.
There's still a lot satisfying about, as much as it sucks that it's not as appreciated on the social networks anymore. There's still something super satisfying about coming away with a really great photo. I mean, you know how it is. We might take 300 photos in a day and 8 of them might look okay. And then there's this one that you're really
super banger. Happy with.
And, and that photo still, that's as rewarding. And I've said it many times, this is rewarding as going out and catching a 6-pound fish or 10-pound fish or whatever. When you find that one photo that just hits perfect for you, it's such a rewarding feeling.
Oh yeah. I have a photo like that.
You have a lot of photos like that, Doyle. I literally have Doyle's photos are insane. I have one like hard plaqued and mounted on my wall right now. It's just, I look at it every day. Like,
that was one of those exact same days that Chad was just saying. It was just, I mean, we were trout fishing. I didn't catch a fish the whole time I was there, and I was out. It was a long day for me, you know, up at 4:30. I was deer hunting in the morning and not getting anything there. I'm like, okay, let's go trout fishing with Tyler. And, you know, I didn't catch any fish, but I was going as heavy on the photos as I could. And I just was able to catch this one. I was like, Tyler, I was, you know, with the way that the sun was hitting him, I was getting him a little bit of direction, and I got lucky enough to snap a really, really good photo. And it is one of my favorite photos I think I've ever taken.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful fly fishing photo out of the, out of his bite.
Yeah.
Fly fishing photos are just awesome on their own, because there's so much movement throughout the photo with the line and the angler, and just like, there's really a lot of movement in a still background. There's just something about, man, it'll always be
just flows.
Be something that's fun to film and fun to snap pictures of is fly fishing. There's just a romance about it.
Yeah.
I don't do it, but
I like watching it.
I don't do it either, looking at it. Unless you want, I don't do it unless I'm like tripping over the line and falling over. Yeah. I'm like, oh, how's the line wrapped around my forearm 6 times? Or that's fly fishing for me.
Yeah, I just cast the neighbor's cat 4 miles because it was right behind me as I was in my swing. But no, I think fly fishing is, man, there's just something about being able to capture it through a lens is just cool.
It's watching like someone like Tyler do that in a kayak is, it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can barely do it on land.
Yeah. It's good to have a stable kayak. That's for sure. That's why I love the bike, man. She's, you know, I just stand up all day, and a lot of the time I'll have my line get wrapped around my fish finder or the foot pedals and stuff like that. It's par for the course, but yeah, no, it's fun. It's fun for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, fellas, we've made it an hour and 14 minutes.
Just flying by, man. I could talk for forever. Another couple hours. Yeah. There's so much things I wanted to say.
Like
no one watching anymore. We're just talking amongst ourselves here.
No, that's okay. There would still be like my mom would still be watching. She'll watch it. Quit.
Gotta love it, man.
Man, that's what's cool about this platform is like it always kind of starts off like everybody's filling each other out in this little doc thing, but then like by the end of you kind of forget people are watching and like the conversation just like develops and evolves and just takes off, and it's really cool. Yeah. It's been a really fun thing to do, but so as we close this thing out, we'll let you guys get off here and let the kids go to bed. We'll do a part two.
I'd love a part two. There's a lot of stuff we haven't covered yet. Some juicy stuff for you guys. A couple steaks.
Yep. So we'll plan a part two. Let's see.
Maybe sometime in the summer, because then Tyler and I will have actually been out on our kayaks.
My new Bite FD.
How about May 2nd?
May 2nd?
I won't be available, I don't think. Amazing.
Oh man. Okay, we'll talk about it later.
We'll figure it out. We'll be back. Don't you guys worry.
So let's let you guys tell people where to find you on social medias, and then thank any sponsorships or any folks like that that you need to thank.
Big Fish Energy, the Big Fish Energy on all platforms. You can find my smiling face. Go check out the YouTube channel, a bunch of stuff there. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hit those thumbs down if you don't. and obviously shout out to Jackson Kayak. Really appreciate you guys bringing me on board. I mean, I've the only kayak I've ever had is a Jackson, and it's something I learned and grew with. And now, you know, I'm going to grow even more getting into the Bite FD. Super stoked on that. Have the drive system going, and Bass Dash as well. Bass Dash, the company I've been working with for quite some time. Super awesome company to work with, amazing products, and really appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to talking to you guys again. Hope you got some value.
For me, it's Doyle J. Smith on Instagram and Doyle J. Smith on YouTube as well, but my actual channel is Eastern Ontario Adventure, but both of those searches will actually get you there. It is, because it's
weird.
The actual URL is Doyle J. Smith, like originally signed it. You can change the name of it, right? So it's both of them. That's how old my channel is.
Legacy.
We will have videos coming, I promise.
I'll kick his butt.
Slowly and surely, there will be videos. I gotta give a shout out to Bass Dash as well. I've been thankful for having me on board in their hunting department this year. Shout out to Mig Sig for the kayak muskie jerseys.
Sick jersey.
And Scott Barton for organizing a lot of the kayak stuff here. Aaron Dodds and Casey for organizing a lot of the bass tournaments here in the KBC family. Yep. Shout out to all those guys. I know some of them are watching now. Yeah.
Cool. Well, as always, we got to thank Jackson Kayak here at the Jackson Kayak Doc Talk. We got to thank Orion Coolers. Pick yourself up an Orion Cooler. Orion Rocks. Save yourself a little bit of money. Thanks to the folks at Garage Beer. We appreciate the heck out of you. We partook of quite a large amount of Garage Beer down in Tennessee last week, and everybody enjoyed the time out of
samples.
That.
Samples.
Yeah, are you going to ship that
sampling, man?
Samples.
We are a road trip, Tyler, to Tennessee for some beer.
Man, the duty on that would be ridiculous, man. We get screwed up here in Canada, man.
We're going to get screwed even more.
Yeah, we won't get into that.
Yeah. So Z-Pro lithium batteries, keeping everybody powered all year long. Cast King rods and reels. Gosh, the list goes on and on. Evolve Fishing. JKT15, save yourself 15% at evolvefishing.com. That's it. We're done.
Thanks for having us on.
Hey, yeah, thanks for being here.
Looking forward to part two Ottawa and doing this thing again. Good night, everybody out there in live land.
Yeah, good night.